Just a quick word from me, your old pal Chris Ying here before we jump into the show. You've been wondering where the videos are from this season and when you can, how you can see John and Brian and Dave and Priya and Rachel and myself cooking all of this stuff. You have been pushing us for video evidence that we actually do this. Well, now you can see it. If you hop on over to the Major Domo Media YouTube channel, we're posting videos from this season. And if you own an LG TV, you can see those videos there on channel 101, aka Major Domo TV. So please do that, because we've been working super, super, super hard. And geez Louise, would it ever be great if you all would tune in and subscribe and like and smash buttons and all that good stuff. So that's all. On to the show. Welcome to Recipe Club, where we debate the best way to cook the things you want to eat. My name is Chris Ying. I am solo hosting this episode today. This is, of course, the show where you, the listener, submit your recipes, your home recipes, so that three of America's, I guess today, most handsome gentlemen can cook them, screw around with them, take them to different places, and then tell you all about it. So let's get into our little game here. So this week on the podcast, as our guests, we have Brian Ford, legendary baker, it's gonna be one of those. Brian chose our theme ingredient this week, which is chicken wings, and I'm very excited about this. And playing the role of my usual co-host Dave Chang today is none other than John DeBerry. Hi, John.
I'm Dave. Sports.
JDB, when you're, you know, like working out and you get that text message that's like, you're on today, you're playing Dave, what do you do to sort of get into character?
Well, you know, I spent so much time working for and alongside David Chang that it's just kind of like, it's just like, it's like I hear his voice just in my head, just on a baseline level. So it doesn't really require a lot of, like, it's not a journey to get there.
It's just sort of channeling. It's like plugging the Dave's voice input to the output. I just have to, like,
breathe more and, like, yeah, and start to, like, really, like, you know what? Like, and do, like, the hand thing.
Brian, this
kind of
dude,
look a little more pissed off.
This dude just says he needs to breathe more. Brian, how you been? You're moving bakeries. You are gearing up for big stuff. You're a busy man. What have you been up to? What have you been cooking?
Oh yeah, man. Bakeries expanding, wholesale operations going well. Some retail, you know, pop-ups are occurring as well. More details to come. But yeah, you know, I got staff now and all that kind of thing. So it's been dope, you know. Things have been cool. Almost finished my second cookbook. Like, almost. It's actually now publishing September 24, as opposed to next month, which was the original. The original date was like in a month, but we have, you know, it's just not ready, but next year it'll come out. It's almost off my desk. And, you know, and the baking will continue, man. Things have been great, Chris. Thank you for asking. I appreciate that.
What's been like surprise hit of the bakery? Like, is there a bread or a pastry or something that you made where you thought, this is more just for me, and then people were into it? Or is there any surprises along that line?
I'm doing some pastries for a coffee shop called Devocion, and surprisingly, they have 5 locations, so, like, my mornings are pretty fun. There's, like, a vegan, gluten-free thing I'm doing that is, at first, like, it's annoying to me as a baker to do vegan, gluten-free stuff. But after a while, after working with different flour blends and things like that, it becomes kind of exciting. It's, you know, you get the sweetness right, you get the flavor right, the texture right, and you're like, wow, this is like relatively healthy. You know, that becomes something people enjoy. Of course, the cocoa bread at Tatiana people love, so I'm very proud of that one. That one's
been, yeah, I gotta get to Tatiana, man. Are you doing production for them, or did you just develop and they're making the bread?
I'm doing the production and the delivery. Yeah, I do the production for few restaurants as well. So that's it's been fun. It's been nice. It's more managing, you know, creating a team and stuff like that and managing quality. I don't, you know, at this point, I'm not like touching every loaf type thing. You know, this is a business, baby. You know what I'm saying? Trying to expand that shit. You know what I'm saying?
I think you should write a self-help book called Touch Every Loaf.
Touch every loaf. The long ones and the small ones. Every loaf needs love.
Oh my God.
Fat, skinny.
Oh my God.
It doesn't matter. Every loaf vegan. Should be touched. Vegan.
And JDB, my social media antenna tells me you were recently in Portland.
My brother lives in Portland, and I also have a family friend who lives in Kennebunk. And so I went to Portland for 2 days, or 2.5 days, really, to see him and his daughter, who's like 5 years old. I actually ate at a really, really good Sichuan place that I don't remember the name of. I think it's like Sichuan Garden or something. It was like very unassuming and like, you know, Portland, Maine is not like the Sichuan capital of the world. So I wasn't really expecting much, but it was actually fantastic. So,
shout out to possibly Sichuan Garden, but we'll never know if that's the name of the restaurant, but
I can probably just look it up.
Shout out to them. We are gathered today, as I said earlier, to discuss chicken wings. Now, I've been looking forward to this episode all year. I love a chicken wing so deeply. So wholly, with all of my heart and soul, do I love a chicken wing. Am I with two men who share that love?
Absolutely. Without a doubt, unequivocally. With no reservations or hesitations.
JDB, you're eerily quiet on the question.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm like the number three of the chicken wing liker in this group. Mm. I actually just realized that when I was busting out the bag of chicken wings, I was like, I've never cooked these before. So, yeah, I mean, I don't love chicken. I don't love meat all that much, like just kind of, and I'm not a hater. I just pick something else. So, it was cool to be able to fry some chicken wings, do some braising.
Damn.
It was a nice little intro. I feel like I'm a better cook now, which I guess is what the show is all about.
So, all right, let me try to put on my empathetic hat here. Because my first reaction, and I saw Brian Ford's eyes go up too, was shock. And dismay that you're not a chicken wing lover. Let me try to put some context around it. You said you don't really eat that much meat in your day-to-day diet anyway, as we know.
You're not a huge chicken guy.
But is there something about the chicken wing itself that makes it less desirable to you, or it's just lumped in with chicken and meat?
I mean, it's kind of lumped in. It's just sort of like there's no particular animus toward the wing. I mean, maybe it's a bit of like I actually kind of like the intricacies of it all and this whole sort of game of eating it.
Rank for me the parts of the chicken. Breast, thigh, leg, wing.
I feel like I'm a drumstick, and then maybe wing, and then breast, and then whatever the hell else is left.
Thigh, big thigh.
Thought sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Brian Ford, same question.
Wing is always a disappointment.
Well,
sorry,
it depends on where you at, but I will say you're not wrong. I think wing does leave the biggest door open for disappointment.
Yeah,
you think so? I feel like the wing calls to me no matter where I am, and it is a trigger for me. I see that wing and I go crazy. If it's on the menu, I gotta go for it. I don't care where I am.
I can see you just like seeing wings.
You know what I mean? I don't care where. You know what's funny is if you go to the House of Prime Rib in San Francisco, you know what you're getting. It's literally called the House of Prime Rib. You're there to eat a giant slab of meat. But because you might go there with family who is not, you know, there to eat prime rib, the menu always has the vegetarian option and then a fish option. You know what I'm saying? Nobody in their right mind wants to touch those things, but they're there for emergencies. I'm imagining a world in which vegetarian restaurants have a little meat option for like dad. Dad's here. He came to the vegetarian restaurant with me.
I like this.
He really
a lot.
Needs meat. He's got to get some meat. Picture this world in which this is an acceptable social construct, that at a vegetarian
why not
restaurant, I mean, why not, right? Let's equal opportunity.
There's gluten-free options. There's, you know, you have options for all people who dine at a restaurant. So why isn't the flip script a little bit where you're right?
Because it's not like it's the prime rib restaurant only serves prime rib. You know, it's like you're not drinking prime rib wine. You know, it's like it features prime rib, but it's like a restaurant. But if you're vegetarian or if you have some other sort of dietary restriction, then I think, you know, just go somewhere else if you want to have a chicken wing.
I beg to differ, John, because I assume what you're thinking there is that if I'm running a vegetarian or a vegan kitchen, most of my customers don't want to be like, oh, I used that pan earlier to cook a piece of flesh and now I'm sauteing your broccoli, right? Like, that's the thing. Or, like, I don't want you frying your fish in my fryer where I fry my sweet potato fries.
I think it's more like they're, you know, it's like the identity is based on the exclusion. So if you're not excluding it, then that's not the identity. So then you just whole, it's just, then it's just a restaurant that mostly serves vegetables.
But there are some,
which, you know, would be great.
But there are some grumpy dads out there who are like, I don't want my meat pan to have touched a vegetable. It's my dietary restriction.
Well, that's like my dad they was. Need to explore why that is with their therapist.
My dad used to ask if
the poor restaurant owners cook meat for them.
Well, was that Brian?
Seems all backwards.
No, my dad used to ask if we thought he was a rabbit anytime he seen he would say just like this. If you put vegetables on his plate, even like fucking like one spinach leaf, he would have said, you think I'm rabbits? What do you think I am, rabbits? You think I'm ants? Plural.
Plural is that?
Son would say it plural, bro. Like, no so joke. You try to get that man. Like, I remember the night he had a, like I'm not going to get too deep with this, but
he had
a heart failure diagnosis and he was eating Popeyes the night of this, like after seeing a cardiologist, he's eating a box of Popeyes. And I'm like, hey, Fale, you got to eat, you know, I'm going to make you some spinach. Ah, no, hold on. You know, he's like, definitely one of those, like, do not let a vegetable ever come across my plate. But anyway, that I feel you, Chris. They exist.
Brian,
they exist and they should be served.
The plural is absolutely murdering me. You think I'm rabbits? That's absolutely.
You think I'm rabbits, Brian?
I'm completely destroyed. My point in that long digression, I don't know if I ever got to the point.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Is in this hypothetical world where vegetarian restaurants have the empathy to think of people like Brian's dad, rabbits, me. If I went to one of these restaurants and the only non-vegetarian offering was chicken wings and had delicious vegetables, it was a wonderful vegetarian. It's the house of prime vegetables. And there's a unloved chicken wing entree for grumpy dads. I would order those chicken wings. I would eat that. That's how much the siren's call of chicken wings speaks to me.
I would too, but then it wouldn't be a vegetarian restaurant. I feel like once you introduce, you can't. It's like if I have a bakery, I'm like, yo, I'm a gluten free bakery, but I got a badass sourdough loaf, stone ground, whole grain flour. You could buy this one fucking loaf, and it's like then you're not a gluten free bakery.
I don't want to dig my heels in any deeper on this, but by that logic, House of Prime Rib, I could walk in there and be like, there's chicken on this menu? This is not the House of Prime Rib. This is the House of Prime Rib, a chicken, and a fish entree.
But they're not saying it's the house where only Prime Rib lives.
Only
it's
Prime Rib, yeah.
It's the house of Prime Rib who dominates the house, but right. He has other minions. He or she, they, sorry, have other minions that are also existing like the chicken wing.
Okay, you're fashioning that. Okay, so the House of Prime Rib is a full
Sorry,
domestic
Chris.
Household. Okay, fine.
I love it though.
All right, so Brian, you're the chicken wing lover among. Do you think you're number one? You're number one or number two out of the two of us? Speak to me about your affection for chicken wings. Do you like to cook them at home? Do you actually cook them at home, or you go out and eat chicken wings?
Yeah, both. I'm a both equal opportunity player when it comes to chicken wings. I think living in New York, so you know, from New Orleans, whatever. So chicken is just a different animal in the South overall. It's prepared better and cooked better and just better taken care of than it is up here. However, the chicken wing game up here, the buffalo wing specifically, right? Because it's a culture, the buffalo wing culture. Bridget, she went to school upstate, so she's all about the wing culture. And I like buffalo wings, but I don't like the naked fried buffalo wings that are just like they don't bread it. They don't take care of it. They just like fry like poor quality chicken wings and then put a little bit of buffalo sauce on them. Dry as shit, like not good. But I have found exceptional buffalo wings. I've broadened my horizons. But I like a good old fashioned breaded chicken wing. I like the old school Southern style chicken wing. I like braised chicken wings. I like baked chicken wings. I like grilled chicken wings, you know, barbecue chicken wings, like all types of chicken wings, every single style of chicken wing I'll play with. As for number one or number two, Chris, I don't know that I'm prepared to say I'm more of a chicken wing lover than you, but I will say that I, as y'all know, and it's been documented on this show for 3 seasons now, I think I love chicken more than anyone on this show. Definitely love that. Chicken, like the broad idea of chicken more than you, but the wing itself, I you know, it's probably the number two. Well, yeah, it's the number two after the thigh, the leg quarter, wing, breast. Nah. Well, feet. I mean, then you're talking about feet. You're talking about tenderloin is last. Anyway, tenderloin's garbage unless you're like, you know, in a pinch. Have you gotta go to Raising Cane's.
Have you ever had chicken like sashimi?
What?
I had it once in Japan. It was really good.
I had chicken. Yeah,
look, for real.
Yeah, yeah, our
like chicken. Oh, straight no, up time.
Raw chicken.
It's very delicious.
And it went hard.
It was good. Yeah, I loved it.
Okay, well, if you're saying it's good, then I'm gonna have to get my ass over to Japan quick.
Just one guess. go get the raw chicken. Come back. That's it.
Bring my, yeah. Well, I got the shellfish allergy, so that's probably all I could eat. Yeah. Anyway,
so you like it. Battered or floured, yes. Or whatever. I tend, yeah, to agree with you. I do like a properly sort of, you can find a nice double fried chicken wing where they've got the skin perfectly like shattering, yeah, and crisp and almost translucent. Mm-hmm. Like that's a delicious wing to me. But I agree, it's got to be breaded. It's got to be fried. Yeah. I don't mess with a baked wing. I don't mess with that at all.
Unless I'm at home and I don't feel like cleaning up oil, cause as we all know, is laborious and really ridiculous to do at home. If it's not that kind of vibe, I might bake a wing, you know, but I agree with you. I might bake a wing, you heard me, in the aluminum, like wrap it in foil, then broil it, you know, get them, you know what I'm saying, tender and then broil them. But you're right.
What's, what are your both go-to, let's say you go to I know, John, you're spending a lot of time at Buffalo Wild Wings.
I mean, I do have the Popeyes app on my phone, so there is that.
Okay, but I'm keeping the wing at Popeyes is delicious.
Shit's good.
But I'm separating the wider world of fried chicken from the chicken wing itself. We're talking, and like Brian said, it's a culture. It's a chicken wing culture, and it's got it's got certain members of this culture that I don't want to associate with. But then there are people who are eating good wings. What do you think? What are your flavors? If you go to a menu, let me throw some at you. I'm looking at the Wingstop, which has 13 different sauces and dry rubs. I'm gonna give you this menu, and I want the two of you, pretend the two of you are at a Wingstop together, which I know happens all the time. So this should be an easy game to play.
It does. Well, there's one on the Lower East Side, so we're definitely gonna make it happen.
You're gonna order a dozen wings, and you're allowed to split it into two flavors. I want you guys to decide on. You know what? Should they be able to split it into two? Maybe they have to decide on one flavor. You guys have to pick one.
Nah, come on. Let us split it.
No, because then you're just going to be like, John, you can have your mango habanero and I'm going to have my, you know.
Shit. Okay. So, give us the flavor options then.
All right. All right. Original hot. I think this is just, you know, Buffalo style. Hickory smoked barbecue. It says most popular in there. Atomic. Mango habanero. Cajun. Spicy Korean Q. Mild. Hawaiian. A sweet and tangy blend of island citrus balanced with rich Asian flavors. The flavors of rich Asian.
Is that what
Asian
the Hawaiian
people.
Is?
So Hawaiian.
So it's a sweet and tangy blend of island citrus balanced with rich Asian flavors. So like Louis Vuitton and It's like white Mercedes.
There's a floor of the Gucci store in Singapore.
Lemon herb remix, lemon pepper, Louisiana rub, a crispy spiced dry rub with a distinctly Cajun drawl, Brian.
Fuck it. Dry rub.
Garlic, Parmesan, or plain. You guys get one flavor.
Some of these sound black.
Can you repeat the first few, please?
Original hot, hickory smoke barbecue, atomic, mango habanero, Cajun, spicy Korean Q, mild, and Hawaiian. And then probably the only one you really want to think about from the dry is lemon pepper.
So, John, I would go, honestly, original hop.
I'm okay with that. I kind of like the acidity, maybe the mango habanero.
That sounds okay, as long as it's not barbecue. The barbecue wings are a travesty. Like, because you know what they mean by barbecue. They mean sweet baby rays.
Yeah.
Like, just like poor quality, high fructose thing. So yeah, I play with the mango thing. That sounds like it would be actually kind of
good. But I feel like to commit to the full.
Yeah, because if it's bad, then you're stuck with.
You're stuck.
That's what I'm saying. Original hot, seems safe. Yeah. It's probably, as long as it's sauced up enough, it'll have a little kick to it. It'll be creamy. Or, you know, like that sounds like the best bet.
And the hickory smoke sounds like it's going to be a bunch of fake smoke flavor.
Yeah, we don't want that.
I'm good with the ridge.
All right, you don't want to gamble with your wings because you're stuck with whatever you get.
Right.
All right, fellas. So that's one large order of original hot.
No drama.
Do you guys want the side of ranch or blue cheese?
Blue cheese.
Ooh, I could. All right, whatever.
Well, I'm not. Well, wait, hold on. I'm not one of these people that like shits all over ranch just to do. I'll eat ranch. I don't care. If you wanted ranch, John, and we were at Wingstop right now, I'd be like, fuck it, let's get the ranch.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Like, that's cool.
This is the best game we've ever played. I truly this is just like want to do episodes.
Date I just want never been on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Think about it like a date. Like, you got to compromise.
I just want to do episodes with you two where I can be your server and present you with menu options.
just like it's like Critical Role, but like with
it's
a restaurant.
Critical Role with a restaurant. Let's just spin off Recipe Club. The three of us. I'll be your server today. Is the name of the podcast, and it's just Brian and John.
Yes.
Hypothetically. Eating dinner together where I'm serving them food. I want to do just a couple of quick little shout outs to some of my favorite wings before we get into today's recipe, because there's always this debate of, are you a flats person, meaning like the little flappy part of the wing? Are you a drumette person, the little leggy part of the wing? And nobody cares about the tips. The tips are just like, you got to chew on those when the rest runs out. Mm-hmm. I'm a flats man. Brian, are you a flats man or are you a drumette?
I'm a drumette boy. More meat on that. Don't even play.
Yeah,
you dig right in with your mouth. You could dig. You could take that big old juicy bite. You looking at a bowl of wings? You telling me you ain't gonna take the big old juicy drumette? You gonna take a flat one?
I will hide all the flats. I will take those flats and squirrel them away and eat them all myself.
Why? I'm curious.
The flat is just this perfect muscle of. You know, short, fatty, stubby little muscles, super tender meat, a perfect, like fried correctly, where they're like actually cooked through and the skin has rendered and the fat is rendered. It's a perfect combination of skin and fat. The drumette, you can still get like cartilage. You can still get chunks of dryness is not a problem for the wing, for the flat. Dryness can be a problem for the drumette.
Yeah, you're 100%.
And
right,
I just
actually.
Think it's, you know, you don't. Duck wings are not as good, I feel like, because ducks kind of like ducks are flapping. They're using that muscle.
Yeah.
So they're tougher and
gamier. So they're ripped.
But
so
these fat, lazy chickens are just like, so they're just like fat little flats are so delicious.
Well, because they're bred to have tiny little useless wings so they can't fly away.
Yes. We call that nature's miracle.
Pleasures.
They're bred to have big top heavy breasts, useless wings, and useless. Big fat thighs.
Exactly. I think I'm a flat.
That's my bad.
I think I'm a flat.
You're back in.
Chris, I think you exposed me as the number two. Because my impulsiveness to just grab the thick, fat leg looking one. And I'm gonna be completely honest. There's a lot of times where you bite into one of those and it's just like chewing. It's like rubber.
It's
like
gristle,
like,
oh, man.
Dry as hell. Like, when you get the ones that are too, the drumettes that are too big.
Yeah.
Sure. We're like, impulsively, you're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get that. But most of the time, they're a little chewy.
Yeah. So you get the big drumette.
You exposed me just now.
And you're thinking to yourself, did they run out of drumettes and just throw a drumstick in here? This thing is too big.
Yeah, sometimes they're like too big.
It's the onion ring that sneaks into your container, the curly fry that sneaks into your straight fries. You know what I mean? So, all right, I'm going to move on. I swear to God. But the one thing I want to shout out is the highest art form to me of the fried chicken wing is not a boneless wing, which is just a little nugget. I'm talking about when the chefs go to the trouble of deboning the wing itself, the flat. Mm-hmm. And this is at like Den in Tokyo or Bennu. Like they'll do this silver chicken wing. At like Bennu, they'll stuff it with abalone and then fry it. And then it's all the deliciousness of the wing without any trouble with the bones. That is outrageous.
Wow.
Yeah, I experienced that. I kid you not. Chris, you could check it out if you want. It's in North Hollywood. When I was just in LA in January, February, there's some pizzeria in North Hollywood on whatever the little art strip boulevard is.
Yeah.
And they did that. And I had never in my life had that. And that shit was a game changer because it was just no bone.
Yeah.
But it was actual, it was deboned properly. And it was like almost still in the shape of the wing. And you were just eating it all whole. And I was like, this is some crazy. This is nuts.
I almost think you need like a license to eat those. Or there's got to be some kind of limit. You know what I mean? There got to be laws around that. Because if I could just eat as many of those boned out flats as I could, I would kill myself. I would die eating them. I would have no self control.
You could eat as many Homer Simpson boned out flats.
Yeah. I would just Homer myself. I would wing myself to death. I'm really working through some shit today, guys.
Chris, I think you actually are number one.
I didn't know I felt this. Yeah,
we're discovering a lot.
I did not know about this about myself either, but
it's come to light. It's come to light, and it's genuine. You're the number one wingman.
All right, so on this show, as we always do, we put out the call for your home chicken wing recipes. We got back a good number of them, including Mom's Braised Chicken Wings by Yimei Yang, Salted Egg Yolk and Garlic Chicken Wings by Jason Chin, Sweet and Sour Apple Cider Chicken Wings with Cilantro by Katie Rafa, Bacon Cheeseburger Wings by Matt Schaefer, and Chicken Wing Karaage and Mochi Waffles by David Lefkowitz. Brian, I know which one you chose. JDB knows which one you chose. Tell the listeners and explain why.
Mama Braised Chicken Wings. Moms. And the reason why I chose this one is because I actually wanted to learn a little bit. I wanted to cook with ingredients I don't use often. I wanted to cook something delicious, you know. I wanted to make something really good, something that I could take my time making. And like I said, use ingredients I'm not using that often in my cooking. And now, you know, I got some leftovers in the kitchen, right? So then I'm gonna start dabbing into it. So that's why I chose it. It seems like a real recipe. It seems like there's some memories attached to it and a nice little story behind it. And that sounds like something I want to eat for dinner. You know, Mama's Braised Chicken Wings. Like, I'm like, yo, you don't even have to tell me twice to show up. If you tell me you're going to have Mama's Braised Chicken Wings at the table, like, I'm there. So
hell yeah.
That's why it's that one.
I fully agree with you. Those are trigger words for me, as we now know. I'm a chicken wing psychopath.
Yeah, like, are you okay under the table, Chris?
It could be like Mom's. It could just be Mom's Braised Spare Bike Tire, and I'd be like, yeah, that sounds all right. I'm down. I'm down for that. Let's go. Mom braised it. Let's have that. I didn't read this little head note that Yimei sent, the story you're talking about, and I read it before cooking the recipe, and frankly, you know, I was moved by this because her story is very, very similar to my family story. My grandmother moved to Taiwan from China to flee the Cultural Revolution. They were a well-off family, just like Ime's family. She says here, my grandfather was a statesman, so they kind of had a head start. And then shortly after he was installed as the mayor of a small city in Taiwan, they grew up with drivers and cooks. My mom grew up with that. Her mom, you know, the kids never learned how to cook or anything like that. And so basically the story is, Ime said this, you should be a duck dish. And they would hack up a duck and braise it with, you know, whatever ingredients. And when they got to Taiwan, it sort of changed again. And then when her mother moved to Houston, it changed again, where they had to figure out how to make this family recipe using whatever was available to them. And what was available to them and common all over the place were cans of pickled jalapenos and carrots. So this recipe basically has you break down the chicken wings, fry those in oil or pan fry them just until they're sort of brown and starting to puff up, which I thought was a nice description. You set those aside, and then into the pan you go Sichuan peppercorn, doubanjiang, which is spicy chili broad bean paste, a little bit of garlic, and then two kinds of soy sauce, Shaoxing wine, sugar, a little MSG, and then just enough water or broth to cover. And then you're just braising these wings until they're, you know, falling off the bone. It is – I made this right before. The reason I was late to record with these guys today because I was in our studio making the original version of this just to test it out and film it. Boys, this thing is very, very delicious. It is like the fucking flavor of the world. It's immigration and poverty and wealth and spices and sugar. And man, it is righteous home cooking. The jalapenos make all the sense in the world in there. So that's the original recipe. And I'm giving a sort of extra detailed description of this recipe because we have some funny restrictions that we put on ourselves this time around. And if you're a listener to Recipe Club, you know we cook this recipe the original way. And then we take a spin on this Wheel of Death, which I have behind me, which gives us all a different constraint under which we need to try to adapt the recipe. And I gave that description because I started imagining to myself, okay, this recipe comes from China to Taiwan to Houston to our various kitchens. And it's not that hard to imagine another migration. Right. So what happens if this family moves to, let's say, West Africa, where John DeBerry was assigned to take this dish, or Dave was, and John DeBerry adopted this very difficult task, or the family moves to Miami, the home of the South Beach diet? Yeah, no, I'm serious. Like younger generations, like imagine this. Imagine Nime's kids are like, oh, we love mom's wings, but it's like, it's not healthy. There's too much sugar in there, whatever, whatever, whatever. I'm going to try to make this healthier. Like, that's a very imaginable thing. And my assignment was Greece. I had turned this into Greek food, which was, my first reaction to this was, fuck this. This is the steepest task in the fucking world. I hate this. But that's crazy because you could, there's no reason in the world why her family couldn't have migrated from Taiwan to Athens. There's literally no reason why this could have been the case.
Like married a Greek person.
Married a Greek person and just – or lived in Greece and was just like, I want a taste of home. Here are the ingredients available to me. So I actually – that's why I love – I mean this version of the show where you can see like a real reason for these things being, I really, really love it. So anyway, that is the places we're about to take this chicken wing recipe for mom's braised chicken wings. Who wants to go first? Brian, it's your episode. Why don't you start us off with how you made this dish?
Oh boy.
A little healthier.
Oh boy.
A little South Beach diet. And what the hell is the South Beach diet? Did you look that up?
Well, I am an expert in the South Beach diet now. because first of all, I want to call out the fact that I had come onto this show to pick this after a little bit of an absence, not by choice, I guess just timing and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm doing the last episode and all of a sudden they're like, yo, the wheel's completely different and you have like 10 seconds to choose I don't even know what happened. And they're like talking about these diet trends. I'm like, and I had to choose. I have no clue nothing about these diets. I've never in my life once ever gave these things a second thought, bro. So I was put into this South Beach diet scenario. And at first during my research, I was like, well, there's multiple phases of it. And in the last phase, you can eat whatever you want.
No,
and then I saw the little prep document.
Oh, no.
No. I saw the prep document. I wasn't going to play that fool. You know, I could have, though. I was really tempted to.
I would have.
Hey, is that really part of the South Beach diet, though? Like, you go through the phases, and then the end, you're just like, go buck wild?
I think phase three allows you to eat. Here, let me read phase three. Where's this shit?
Because phase three sounds like a test. Phase three sounds like the kind of thing that...
I don't have it up.
Phase three sounds like a cop-out for the South Beach diet people, because they're like, well, on phase three, you ate whatever you wanted, and then you gained all the weight again, so it's not our fault.
Yeah. It pretty much, that's what I gathered, that you could slowly integrate your diet back. So I was like, okay, so how is this a challenge? But of course, I look at our document, it says phase one, because that's the hardest phase. It's when you eliminate all starches, rice, fruits, sugar, alcohol, everything. I mean, you know, besides lean meat and certain things. So I started doing a little deep dive here, and I pulled up on some websites the approved proteins for the South Beach diet. Okay. And chicken wings have a big red X on them.
Oh, right?
Chicken wings and legs and duck and any fatty poultry have a big red X. Now, chicken breast, boneless, skinless is okay. Fish is okay. Certain types of beef and lean pork are okay. And ladies and gentlemen, this is where I present to you the fact that I used pork cheeks. All right. I used pork cheeks. Okay. Because no one wants to eat a skinless chicken wing. I wasn't going to do it. I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. Couldn't do it. So I used pork cheeks. Pork cheeks are apparently very lean, and they're not disallowed from the South Beach diet. Although not explicitly allowed, they're also not disallowed. I thought about using tenderloin. And then I did a little more research about Sichuan cooking, and it seems like pork belly might be the preferred pork for this style of braise, but pork belly is super fatty. So I thought that the pork cheek could make it a little more similar, you know, give me that little bite that I'm looking for when I want a chicken wing, and also try to adhere to the restriction. All right. So that's the judgment call. And, you know, it is what it is. I thought it was kind of dope. And I feel like I captured the essence of this dish with it, without compromising the integrity of, I'm sure y'all could tell I lost weight, you know, with I have my little South Beach, you know, I got the cheeks a little slimmed up when I ate this. As soon as I ate this meal, I lost like 5 pounds. Like, fucking, it was crazy. Yo, it was insane how this diet now was playing. So I never really cook with Sichuan peppercorns before. Those are okay. Garlic, from what I understand from the countless South Beach diet phase one recipes I've looked into, use garlic. I use a soy sauce, soybean based soy things. It seemed fine. I excluded the sugar, of course. I kept the MSG. I used some low-fat chicken broth, which also was supposedly fine. Vegetable oil is somehow fine in a diet. You know, apparently it's not great. Whatever. I used the vegetable oil. So, and excluded the carrots because you can't use roots or starchy veggies. All right. So I'm just laying out the playbook for y'all about like how I tried to do the research. You heard me, and like, you know what I'm saying. I cooked it with the same, with the methodology as described. You know, I hit the pork cheeks quick, removed them. I did use the wine because I think it mostly cooks off the alcohol, and I think the idea behind no alcohol in a diet is so that, you know, you don't get a calorie, you don't just like drink your calories. So from a flavoring perspective, like I figured that was fine. Sorry I'm rambling, but I'll finish up quickly. No. I think the most important thing for me that I included also was the doubanjiang.
The doubanjiang, which is
yeah,
fine.
Because so I researched it again. Like I said, I don't use these ingredients often. So I wanted to, with the diet restriction, I was trying to figure out, but there's wheat, there's flour in this, apparently. I'm sure it's in small amounts. But I was like, is this breaking the diet because it includes wheat flour? Potentially, but I feel like apparently this comes from such a unique place and creates such a unique flavor profile. Replacing it with something else, I feel like would have been more detrimental to the overall dish. So I decided to keep it in. I'm sure the wheat amount in there was as negligible as the alcohol that didn't cook off from the wine. So I decided to keep those two things in, even though I know they might be technically not South Beachy. But hey, I feel like I try to follow that playbook. No rice, which was really disappointing because holy hell, man, how you going to eat something like this without white rice? But in phase three, you can have brown rice. That's when I got excited. I was like, oh, shit, I can have brown rice. But I didn't deviate from the actual procedure. I followed it exactly step by step. It was absolutely delicious. You know, I think it was missing the sugar a little bit. I think the sugar was probably critical to this dish, but I think just straight up adding sugar was wrong. MSG is more of a salt-based scenario, and umami, I thought that was perfectly fine to leave in. Although, again, I don't know the deep dive of this diet, but I wasn't going to exclude that because, I mean, I wanted it to be delicious. So, yeah, I mean, sorry to ramble. I wanted to kind of like give you my thought process, but this was really... Yeah, it was really interesting. I mean, it was one of the most delicious things I made on Recipe Club. That I will say that. But you know, this is good. I mean, pork cheeks are great. I've cooked pork cheeks a few times.
Long did you braise the pork cheeks?
Probably just like an hour.
Okay.
I think it was about roughly an hour. No more than that. There's a little bit of fat in them, so it doesn't need. It might have been more of a 45-minute thing. Let me try to dial it in my brain, but I didn't want to go too long with it. And it was very, very tender. It was very, 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 very tender. And it was perfect. I mean, this flavor profile was really... I think the paste, Donbanjang?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, that was the difference maker easily. Easily. Yeah. There's no way that it would have come together flavor wise without that, so I'm like really happy I fucked with that. I'm sorry.
That sounds delicious, man. That sounds delicious. I mean, pork cheeks are pretty fatty, but like, listen,
yeah,
if you skated by the rules, the letter of the law, that's fine with me. You know what's crazy though, after tasting this original version and thinking about that list of proteins, this would be really, really good with fish. Actually, if you did like some fish collars or something like that, like, you know, the same sort of fatty, like sucking the meat off of like the little bones and stuff, hamachi collars or salmon collars, that would have been really, really good too. But pork cheek sounds super delicious, man. I'm glad.
No, that's a nice flex, Chris. You're right. That's a nice flex.
No,
that would have been.
It's iterative, bro. It's iterative. I never would have got there without your research. I'm glad you said that you did sort of miss the sugar because I tasting this. Like the sugar, well, there's so much umami and so much like high impact stuff. A little sugar to balance it out makes a difference, but I'm glad it was delicious.
Yeah,
anyway.
No, for sure.
JDB, take us to West Africa, buddy.
Let's see. So I looked at this recipe for the wings, and I don't know, backing up maybe, like I was given West African cuisine. I have this. This Kwanzaa cookbook that I got at this amazing secondhand bookstore in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, called The Midtown Scholar. And it's written by this professor of like African American studies. And it's this compendium of all of these like diaspora recipes. And it's like one of the best cookbooks I've ever used, like both from like a recipe standpoint and also just like the dishes that you make. So I paged through it looking for like a very West African recipe. And you know, the biggest, like the kind of blockbuster West African dish is like jollof rice. So I wanted to do a jollof rice. The one in that book was a little bit complicated. It had a bunch of like meat things thrown in there. And it was just sort of like a bit, not quite right to do like a fusion. Cause you see like the rice in the recipe, it's just like start your rice cooker and just eat this with rice. So it's obviously like a really good opportunity to throw in the fusion element to it and make the rice something special. So I found a New York Times recipe, by Yawande, Komolafe, and it was also a great cooking video. If you go watch it, it's like just a very charming, very informative video. And the jollof rice recipe, it relies on this sauce called obeata, which is basically like pureed red pepper and jalapeno and garlic and tomatoes. And then it has sort of like a risotto vibe in a way, being that you basically like cook the rice in this sauce. And I was tempted to use the rice cooker, but I actually just like, I have a Dutch oven. So what you do is you parboil the rice, you throw in, the obiata sauce plus like more garlic and like more seasoning, like turmeric and smoked paprika. And then you basically just throw it in the oven for, I don't know, like 45 minutes. And then it just gives you this like super fluffy, really delicious, like, you know, orangey yellow rice that's like perfectly seasoned. It also has that like kind of like crusty like element of it where like the rice hits the pot and you have this like nice little crunchy element to it. So that was like the rice that I used for the chicken wings. And then I just made the chicken wings just as is, really straightforward. Like I almost chickened out with the sugar, and I'm glad I didn't, because it seems like you need it. And so then I just plated it with like the rice, and then I just poured the wings with like the braising liquid over it. And then the recipe for the jollof rice, called for like, you like cook a lot of onions and you like reserve half of them as like garnish after you're done with like the full, like, you know, oven experience. Then I just like drizzled the cooked red onions over the top of it. And it was, it hit really hard.
It's really good. Louise.
That sounds incredible, dude. Yeah. That sounds insanely good.
That sounds delightful.
So much rice in my refrigerator now.
You got me licking my lips, bro.
And wow. So as fans of jollof rice know, there is an ongoing debate known colloquially as the jollof wars. It's a debate of whether jollof rice is Nigerian or Ghanaian. John, why don't you weigh in on this and tell us once and for all whether jollof rice
is the authority of African cuisine. I don't know anything about that, but basically the recipe developer, Yuande, is a Lagos native. So I'm using whatever the case may be in terms of like the authority and like the validity of jollof rice's origin. This recipe appears to be a very like at least somewhat rooted in the Nigerian versions of it, because it is a family recipe of hers. So
see, I love that. This is a cool version of this fusion idea, because you said you made the chicken wings just according to, you know, and then you had jollof rice, and like I sort of imagine just like this is what happens when you live in a part of the world where you have heterogeneous cultures. And you can like have some, I'm just imagining like, oh, I live in this really amazing cosmopolitan part of the world, and I have some jollof rice in my fridge, and I have these leftover chicken wings, and what if I just ate these together? And like, or like, holy shit, it's even better together. Like, that's a cool different version than other stuff that we have done. So that's a fun.
And I love this recipe. I love the wings recipe too, because I got to, I cook with, you know, Asian stuff all the time, but like thick soy sauce was a new one for me, and I also needed an excuse to buy some MSG. So now I'm stocked on MSG in this house.
I stocked us. This recipe calls for 1.5 teaspoons of Sichuan peppercorn, and I went to the grocery store to buy them for the studio. And hopefully nobody from Ringer Spotify Business Affairs is listening bags. Right now. But I was like, man, 20-pound bag should do it. The biggest fucking bag of Sichuan peppercorns. My assignment was to fuse this with grease. And I think that when Brian and Dave gave me this, there was some degree of Schadenfreude happening here. Like, nobody wanted grease is like a tough pull, guys, to mash up with Chinese. And so
just put some feta in there.
Okay. So it's really hard. Like, I don't know a lot about Greek food. I don't actually know a lot of people who do know a ton about Greek food. And so, my
fries
first
and yogurt.
So my first instinct was just like all of these stupid, you know, lowbrow ideas of like, oh, throw some feta on there, drizzle some, make it a souvlaki, grill it, you know, and just wrap it in grape leaves and call it a dolma. And I was just like thinking on such like a basic lowbrow level. And I was just trying to be like, you know, kind of gimmicky and stunty and just thinking about what are the Greek dishes people actually know about, and can I make this into one of them? Can I serve this? Like, literally, I was like, wrap it in grape leaves? I don't know. Fuck this. Who cares? Like, but then I sat down, I read that head note, and I really did start thinking about like, okay, what if mom had left Taiwan like my family did and came to America and just didn't have any idea of what they were going to encounter. I remember my mom arrived in Arizona and she saw these Arizona girls eating salad. And she was like, what? She's like, are you guys rabbits? rabbits? And I'm just like, she was like shocked by this. Ants? And so am I ants? And I was just like,
yes!
No, that was my mom's experience arriving in this country. And, you know, I just thought, shit, what if mom arrived in Greece and she wanted to make this dish? It's the one, it's according to this head note, you know, it's like the one thing she really knew or learned how to make. So she's trying to make this flavor of home. So then I thought, I really wanted to just go to a Greek market and just buy what I could find, like substitutes. Imagine myself in Greece. I wasn't about to drive 3 hours to get to the closest Greek market, so I didn't do that. But then I started thinking about each of these individual components and how I could replace some of them. And so she says in here, you know, basically they would just braise this thing with anything they had fermenting at home, garlic, long beans, vegetables, pickled peppers, whatever. And so I started thinking like, okay, what is like the quintessential Greek fermented vegetable? And then I was like, oh, why was I being so stunty and annoying? Like olives, and like the entire olive bar is prime, right? So my first step was I walked up to the olive bar and I basically picked anything Greek, all the different olives. There was like some pickled peppers and pickled carrots and olives and all of this. I didn't do anything with like feta. I didn't do anything gnarly, but I just like, I need a base of pickled vegetables. So I had that. And then I thought about, okay, what else can I do with some of these other ingredients? So instead of doubanjiang, I was like, okay, what is the fermented chili paste of Greece and the Mediterranean? And I did start browsing some Greek menus, but while it is North African, harissa is, you know, part of that entire region. And I was like, that is basically North African doubanjiang. It's chili paste. It's spicy. It's delicious. It's super umami. So I got some harissa. She said that they added dark soy sauce for color. And so I was like, okay, dark soy sauce, thick soy sauce. What can I do to like give some just like for color and maybe a little bit of, you know, whatever. I wanted to find some sweet element. And so I picked pomegranate molasses, which is like has the exact same viscosity as dark, thick soy sauce. I added that to it. And the last thing I did was, oh, instead of soy sauce, so I need some kind of like some kind of flavorful umami seasoning. And I didn't want to just, I was like, well, if mom moved to Greece, they probably have soy sauce. But then I thought, no. Let's go back to ancient Greek times where in that entire Mediterranean region and as well as like the Middle East, the Levant, were the first people to use garum. So garum comes from ancient Greece and the Phoenicians and Romans, which is basically just fish sauce that they would ferment in these huge vats outside. So garum is fish sauce. So it's like, I'm just going to use some fish sauce as my seasoning component and then a bunch of sugar. Oh, by the way, and then I bought a ton of Greek olive oil just to extra Greek this fucking thing up.
Oh, yeah. So, like, now, you get points for that. That's real.
So I fried the hell. I fried them till they were like brown and a little bit puffy. Took those all out, set them aside on the pot lid, drained off a little bit of the oil, but kept a good amount of it. Added all of those chopped up olives and peppers and carrots and fermented goodies from the olive bar, minced garlic, the harissa. And the other thing I found was, again, it's like a North African ingredient that you can see throughout the Mediterranean, but cured lemons, like preserved lemons. Mm. So I took a little bit of preserved lemon peel, which you can buy in these jars. I chopped that up. And that it was just like a total, I'm just going to throw one more thing in here. And it turned out to be, I think the best part about this whole dish was just like the occasional little burst of brightness and acidity and floral flavor. Sauteed all that together, added the chicken wings back in, covered it with a little bit of water, a tiny little nugget of chicken bouillon or a little scoop of chicken bouillon out of the jar because it asked for broth, sugar, let it bubble and bubble for 45 minutes. And then it just so happened that Recipe Club Wedgie, Rachel Kong, and her husband Eli were coming over for dinner. So I dragged Rachel into eating this thing. And it was insane. It was like,
sounds good.
It was so fragrant and spicy and a little, you know, and a little tart and super, super umami. The sugar really helps balance things out. And I'm eating it, and there's not a single Chinese ingredient in this bucket of food. And Rachel and I are both eating it, and we're like, it tastes Chinese. And I know it's a joke that every time I cook something, it feels like it's Chinese because of just the Chinese flavor inherent to my hands that makes its way into the food. But like, shit tasted Chinese. It was a total trip that I could, you know, because I mean, it's also because like I have memories of eating these kind of braised chicken wings. And Brian, I don't know how much like you, we talked a lot about fried chicken wings, but I don't know how much like braised chicken wing you've eaten.
Not so much.
But like this not is so a much. Super Chinese thing. And part of it was that, but it was just, you know, these slippery little wings over rice was outrageous. Man, it was really, really, really good. So that was my Greek fusion version of Mama's braised chicken wings. I can't stop thinking about Mama's braised bike tires. And that's the three approaches we took to this recipe.
I feel like, man, y'all had a whole new world opened up to you to cook this shit. And like, I'm like, I had my hands tied behind my back. I lost 15 pounds, but damn, man, hearing the way y'all cook this, no, like legit low key or high key, man, this might be the most delicious episode I've ever participated in.
Yeah,
in terms of the way y'all have both described like what you did. I mean, come on, man. Going into different parts of the world to make this kind of dish, man, that just sounds real delicious, bro.
No, man.
Y'all, I see you. I see y'all.
I think there's something to all of it. I mean, I'll say this really quick. I was thinking that as I was listening to you guys describe yours and just thinking about how, John, I'm assuming this was out of your comfort zone on multiple levels in a lot of ways, or just like a learning experience. Brian, like you had to learn about this diet. Like it's a real thing. Like you actually learned about it. I had no idea what Greek food was. And I was like, I fucking love this show. I love when we actually That's get true. Pushed to learn something. Like John's not, I'm kidding about the Joloff Wars. I'm not going to make John pretend to be an expert. I am not a Greek man.
I mean, I'm definitely a better cook now. That's like for right? sure.
That shit's fun. All right. Yeah. So
rice like that.
I know, dude. All right, so today in our production booth, we've got Gabby, Corey, and Victoria. They are going to deliberate in there. Their job is to judge the three of us and decide on a first, second, and third place. But while they're doing that, I'll give you all a quick update on the season standings here as they are currently in front of me. In first place, with a average score of 9.4, John DeBerry, in a two-way tie for second place with 9.25 points, is Priya Krishna and Brian Ford. In third place, by the slimmest of margins with 9.06, is Dave. In fifth place is Rachel with 9.00. And as I have been all season long, just living in a fucking basement, smoking weed and playing video games, 8.72, just with the lowest GPA of us all, just a loser in the basement. All right, Booth, do you have updated scores for me?
I think Chris could win this.
I'm about to. Great job, everybody. Really interesting episode. So for this week in third place, we have Brian.
Wow.
But everyone did a really good job. In second, we have JDB, and in first is Chris this week.
Damn.
Brian, dude.
Just why y'all gave me third place? Tell me. Tell me right now. Don't play with me.
Yeah, Gary, answer that question.
What could I have done better to adhere to the South Beach diet phase one?
Everyone did a really good job.
I love it. I was just playing with you.
All right, everybody.
I know you're going to hold me back from first place. I understand the just like that movie, The Adjustment Bureau, where like, they got to like adjust my movements.
What? Oh, shit. So this has had some nominal effect on the score. I'm still eating gummy bears in the basement, but now in a tie for fourth place, having dropped from 9.25 to 9.00, Brian and Rachel, which
That's
gives
what I'm saying.
Dave sole possession of third place with 9.06. He's crawling back up on an episode he wasn't even on. Thanks to JDB, he's crawling up.
This is clear and obvious tampering with Brian's ability to succeed. This is, you know, listen, I fuck with the judges, y'all. I play with it. Like, I play with y'all. I love y'all. Y'all my family. But I don't see how it could have been so quick. I don't see how y'all had a motherfucker studying this shit like I studied for the CPA exam, this diet. I was studying, basically went back to school for this shit, guys. You know how fucking how busy says. I am? You know how much shit I had to do all day that I was reading this shit for hours about, does MSG have any sugar? Or where is there a gram of wheat here? And, you know, I'm trying to make this analysis.
Hey, bro.
And y'all was just like, you got third place.
All right. I gotta say is,
I seen you.
I know how you feel, dude. Now in second place, so Priya is now in second place alone. Brian left her to fall into fourth. But JDB, you're still in possession of first with 9.33. But that
I went down.
That Krishna lady's nipping at your heels.
I'm slipping.
She coming for you. There's still some time this season to write the ship. I mean, not for me. I just live in this basement. I live in my parents' basement forever.
I'm about to come live with you, kid. That's where I'm headed. That's where the judges want me to be. They want me to be down there smoking weed with you. Let's light up the spliff, baby. Play FIFA.
Come on.
I'll beat that ass in FIFA
then.
Don't
joke.
Hey. Don't play with me. I'll play with you. Know what I'm
Let's go. Let's go. We've still some time with a couple more episodes. Brian, the next time you're on the show, we will be cooking with instant potato flakes. It remains to be seen whether JDB will get another call up for the Dave role. It's possible. But you got a lot to choose from. A lot of people submitted instant potato flake recipes, including Cindy Nelson, who wants us to make fancy mashed potatoes. Mary Bennett, who, you know, we already did a Mary Bennett recipe, right? Black garlic mashed potato balls. I'm just going to say, let's give somebody else a chance.
Is it too late to ask for submissions and what I would want to happen?
I think it's too late because you're about to pick your recipe.
Did you?
Oh, I'm about to pick. Shit. I'm scrubbed. Did I get the email already? Where is that?
Kirsten, I'm reading them to you now. Kirsten Westlow has sent in a recipe for LeBlanc family's Acadian style tourtière, which is.
What?
I don't know what it is. I can't access it.
Like Acadia? Like real Acadia?
Acadia, yeah.
Like Louisiana
Acadian
shit?
Style. I think so. For a tourtière.
Tourtière.
French Canadian meat pies. I've got a little note down here. Thank you, Gabby, for translating that for me. Brandon Dean wants us to make sourdough bread. Adam Sofren wants to make baked Alaska meatloaf. Hannah Vickers wants Dad's butter horns. Catherine.
Dad's what?
Dad's butter horns. Dad's famous butter horns. My dad was the baker in our house. He found baking as a recovering alcoholic as a young adult. I moved overseas and missed holidays with family. Avid baker. It's a handwritten recipe. I don't know what a butter horn is, bro, but it's got potato flakes in it.
I tell you what, low-key, this shit sounds kind of dope.
I have completely...
It's like an old piece of loose leaf paper. You seeing this shit? Look at this.
I know. I'm looking at it.
That's like from like the 1993 or something. That's like,
all I looked at it.
Like, okay.
Catherine Cunningham, frequent submitter. Potato candy. Alexandra Flowers has a recipe for Thanksgiving dinner. And Eric Mensch has instant potato lefse. What is Thanksgiving dinner?
Dude, I'm literally reading Dad's Butterhorns.
I think you should do the Butterhorns.
This is insane. There's so much going on with the butterhorn recipe. Like,
so into it. I can't even
I
see
am
it.
I'm really excited about it. It's got this great story there. Obviously I'm a baker. So, I'm going to go with Dad's butterhorns, yo, because I think this is going to be, it's kind of like a puzzle. It looks like a puzzle. I'm not going to say too much more because this is about to go kind of hard. And we're going to go with Dad's Butterhorns.
I'm excited to see what shape all these. I think that the qualification for Butterhorns is with this recipe, because it's very bare bones and it's obviously a baked good. I think that none of us should be able to Google. I mean, frankly, none of us should Google, because who knows what you're going to turn up if you Google Dad's Butterhorns.
I will not. I put it on my life because this looks way too fun to attack. I want to attack it real and raw and on the moment. I can't.
Damn, dude. All right. I mean, chill out. Dad's Butterhorns. I'm going to give a spin. Who wants to be? This is Brian's spin. First spin on the Wheel of Death to find out.
I can't see the whole wheel.
What constraint he will be using to cook this thing. All right. I'll give it another spin because I was.
Yeah, I
tampered with the results.
I can't even see the result.
You landed on double taxation, bro. So
what does that mean?
That means as the winner of this episode, I get to pick two of these constraints for you to work with. We'll decide on those in a second. JDB, the spin's for you, buddy.
What am I
getting?
You
are going to
This is for Dave.
Oh, for Dave.
Unless I get called back in.
All right, so let's sit here as I spin mine. Let's think about what we want Dave to fuse Dad's Butterhorns to. And I will spin this for myself. I am going to land also on double taxation. So wow. I will be doing this with two constraints. Brian will be doing this with two constraints. And JDB, Dave will be doing this with a fusion. So I'm going to do this, Brian. I'm a nice guy. What two things do you want to work with for your constraints? I think we should rule out slow cooker. I think slow cooker baking is too stunty and gross.
Look, I'm a professional baker, man. Just make it fun. Fuck with me. It's all good. Do what it is.
All right.
Don't give me keto, though. Let me use gluten, man. Let me use real flour.
I'm going to make you do handmade.
Okay.
And I want you to hand make the instant potato flakes.
I have a dehydrator, no problem.
Ooh. That'll be fun, right? That's going to be a legitimately fun good one.
That sounds dope. So that's all I got to do?
You know what?
Handmade.
No. And I'm gonna gift this to you because I think this will be fun to see you do. I want you to take Dad's Butterhorns. I'm basically guaranteeing you a fucking win right here. You ready for this? I want you to hand make the potato flakes and make it Lux.
Ooh. Ooh, yeah. Baby. I'm gonna go up to the Adirondacks and get some local potatoes. You heard me spend $150 on gas. You heard? No, I was playing. That sounds great.
That sounds great.
Thank you, Chris. I love it.
I'm going to double tax myself, too, because I got double tax, and I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to do budget, and I'm going to fuse this with something. Where should I fuse this Dad's Butterhorn recipe with? Name a place.
Culturally.
Ooh,
Peru. Mexico, like Guarnitos.
Done. All right, so I'm going to do a
or
fusion.
Peru.
I'm going to do a fusion
yeah, Peru.
Budget. Mexican dad's padres butterhorn papa's butterhorn and Dave, what do we want Dad, Dave to fuse this with?
Dad's tires. Let's go with Peru since I already said it.
All right, Peru.
So is it too close to Mexico or what?
Great.
There you go.
God,
yeah.
Look, see how efficient and effective we can be once we launch this spinoff podcast where I'm your server. That is all we have for this episode. If you want to play along, if you're like, oh, these bozos don't know what they're doing, I can do better. Well, prove it. Join the Major Domo Media Discord server where you can spin the wheel for yourself, play along, post what you're doing, share with the community, get some tips, get some discounts, vote. I think there's going to be all sorts of season awards at the end of this show. So that's the only place you can vote. And, by the way, you can see video of all the cooking. We're starting to put up all the videos on the Major Domo Media YouTube channel as well as on LG TVs if you should happen to have those. So like those videos, subscribe to our channel, and give this podcast 5 stars for Christ's sake. We could really use it. My dudes.
My dudes.
You guys take care of
yourselves. I love y'all.
You too.